This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, your place to reflect. So here we are, day 21 of the Muslim fast of Ramadan. We've made it through the first 3 weeks, and we've got the strength of the last 10 days of spiritual reward to keep us going. For those outside the faith, it's incredible to see people in the heat going about their normal daily lives and doing without food and water for the days and days and days. But it's important to understand that Ramadan is a period of fasting and reflection and devotion, and that generosity and sacrifice, which we observe, makes it unlike any other festival. It is an intensely spiritual experience. Perhaps you didn't know this, but the word Ramadan actually comes from the Arabic root word for parched thirst or sun-baked ground. And aren't we seeing that in Qatar right now? The ground is so dry and the heat is shimmering upwards. And that word, Ramadan, it's so expressive of the hunger and thirst that is felt by those who are spending this month in a fast. Other holidays, well, they are to do with indulgence. But Ramadan is by nature a time of sacrifice. It is the one thing that God says to Muslim believers, this is actually for Him. You see, when we pray, it's for us. Our observances do us good. They break our day up. They de-stress us. They give us that time to reflect that other understandings and faith groups have as well. A Buddhist will do well by their observances, by their chanting, by their self-cleansing, by those rituals. And in the same way, a Muslim who breaks our day 5 times, coming out of the office when instead of having a cigarette break, we'll go and pray. These are our renewals. But fasting is, in the Islamic understanding, for God alone. And through fasting, a Muslim experiences hunger and thirst, and it allows us to sympathize with those in the world who have little to eat every day. Our grumbles are something that are so rare to feel now. And yet there are millions and millions around the world who are in this position every single day. Imagine how that feels. This parched mouth that we have, this banging headache, imagine if that was our experience every single day, going to work in that way, waking up in that way, and going to sleep in the same way. I remember once watching a phone-in television show in the Arab world, and a man from Africa called the Sheikh who was on the program and said, Sheikh, I have no food and no drink. So does my fast count if I do it for the sake of Allah? In other words, every day is like Ramadan for him throughout the year, with enough food to keep him going only. And the Sheikh began to cry because of that realization that in just 9 days, we will be entering Eid. And we will be able to have an abundance of food again. And we'll probably, if we're honest and if we don't control ourselves, go back to the snacking and the fridging. But millions of people don't have that choice. And this month of fasting helps us recognize that. This increased devotion helps Muslims to feel closer to their Creator and to recognize that everything we have in life is a blessing from Him. It's a time of increased charity as well. It's a time for Muslims to develop feelings of generosity and goodwill towards others, and we invite everybody to partake in this month. it is recommended that any generous acts you can do, do them now in this special time. People will appreciate them more, and you may feel an even greater sense of reward. Who knows? So if you have food you're not going to eat today in your home, package them up and take them to someone around you who you see driving along while you're in the car, or when you walk those few meters to the air-conditioned office. Find that person, give them food. Give them food for their family. Give them beautiful shampoos. Give them something lovely that you don't really need. Let's be people who share more, who are able to let go of things. This is also what this month is about. It is about detachment. Detachment means that the things we own no longer own us. We can give it or we can keep it. It doesn't matter so much to us. And that makes us independent spiritual people. Through this month of self-control, a Muslim practices our good manners, better speech, and we learn, we reconnect with good habits that we hope to keep going for the rest of the years. And we change our routines, don't we? We have chance to establish a more healthy lifestyle. So let's try in these last 9 days, sisters, to not have any sweets in the evening, or at least to take down that sugar content, and to keep this up the rest of the year for our own health and for the health of our families. And if you're smoking still, let's see if we can detach from that habit that damages our lungs and can lead our children to an addiction later on. This is a time of spiritual wealth, and I'm joined with Sister. It's a time of spiritual wealth. And joining me today is Sister Anisa Kassoun, well-being advisor and hijama specialist. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah.
We talked a little bit earlier about hadith that helped change your life once you entered Islam, and how your special interest was in the life of the Prophet and how he was health driven and the advice given. You mentioned one hadith about honey and hijama. What was the other hadith that changed your life?
Okay, well, I'll actually give you two more. One of them was where he said that there are two things that we will neglect. One is our time and one is our health. So I took that as right. I'm not going to neglect those two things. You know, I'm going to make sure that that's not me. And the second one, which is ultimately one of my favorite, is take the benefit of five before five. And this one, to me, breaks up all areas of your life. So it's take the benefit of your youth before your old age. Take the benefit of your health before your sickness. Take the benefit of your wealth before your poverty. Take the benefit of your free time before you're preoccupied, and ultimately your life before your death.
That is very, very deep, deep knowledge there, especially because if you look into it, so much of it is about rushing your time, how we spend it, your youth, don't waste it, your energy. It is about energy and time, really, isn't it?
Yes, and it does coincide with, like I said, the one before about, you know, neglecting. If you have these five, and this is what I try to do personally as a mother of four, you know, and that my children range from 1 to 20, so I've got that kind of, you know, every child at that critical moment. You know, I have to obviously balance my time efficiently. And, you know, think about it. If you're sick, you know, you can't take the benefit of not only a prayer, but maybe going out and visiting a sick person, maybe, you know, walking or spending time with your children. You can't do it. So I think for me as well, as a Muslim, Islam is a preventative way of living. It, you know, it prevents you. And if you really take the benefit of those things before, then hopefully, you know, you won't fall into error.
Tell us how you manage your time.
Okay, so I am a mother of four, like I said, and I homeschool. I also work a lot with the community in the UK and in Doha. I like to, you know, balance my time by making sure that I also do something that the Prophet, peace be upon him, recommended, which was, you know, balance your time with your family, with your business and with your faith. So I think this is important because I see a lot of people, and a lot of people actually come up to me and they say, well, I'm too much on one side, you know, so we may, you know, be too much, for instance, working, so and you end up neglecting your family. You know, you may, you know, be too much with your family that you neglect your house, you know, things like this. So I think definitely for me, I create this kind of wheel. And,
Hang on a second. Let's talk through the life wheel, okay. Because I think that's a very interesting concept. And it goes right to the heart of rights in Islam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, talked about, you know, the rights of the child, the rights of the family, the rights of the wife. When there was conflict and times of conflict and the soldiers went away, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was very aware, for example, of the rights of the wife to have the soldier not be on campaign for months and months at a time. They had to come back, give the wife the support she needed. So in this day, when we talk about work-life balance, Islam already had that mapped out. Now, how do we do that in a life wheel? Just give us a brief version of how we could go away and do that.
Fantastic. Right. So a lot of life coaches use what's called a life wheel, and it's where you have a circle and it's split up into segments, a bit like an orange. You know, it can be anything from 5 to 8 segments, and you write your most important areas. So you might write your family, your business, your happiness, your wealth, your health, definitely put your health, your faith, you know. So you put the most important areas in your life, and then you number them 1 to 10, and you color them in.
Why do you number them, and what do the numbers mean?
So you number them 1 to 10 according to how you feel that day. So it's really important to date it, because for me and my family and the people that I work with, we try to do this every month. Okay, so for instance, okay, if my health might be a 5 out of 10 because I need to increase my activity and I need to maybe eat less meat. And then I write down my actual goals, and they might be my goals. So I've not only got a visual look and perspective of my life, but I've also got my goals, so I know what I'm working towards, and that is really important. And once you write your goals, then you can actually embark on taking action, you know.
MashaAllah, may Allah bless us and give us all the barakah of time. We often feel that we're rushed off our feet and we misuse time, and we are in an age of entertainment where if you watch a movie every night, suddenly 14 hours, or a whole waking day has gone. And I often say to my children, you won't remember the day you sat and watched the TV all day, or, you know, whatever movies you're streaming, but you will remember the day you went on your bike, or you went on that adventure, or you just fell out with your friend, all of these learning experiences.
Definitely. And like you said, how do I balance my time? I wouldn't say I'm the master, but I love to do lots of things at once. So I might be in the kitchen cooking, but at the same time, I might have a weight around my leg and I might be lifting my leg and doing some side lunges, you know. So, yeah, that's a definite way.
So do you really endorse the whole thing of actually losing weight and being healthy, you know, while you're doing housework? Does it kind of actually work?
Yes. For many years, I didn't have a Hoover.
Yeah.
And actually, I was bought my first Hoover by somebody who suffered from a similar illness because they couldn't, you know, see me suffering. But I swept my whole house every day because I've got children who've got dust allergies. And that was my exercise. And that was my way of also keeping humble, you know, in a world of technology. You know, we can kind of get caught up with having lots of cars and machines to do everything from us. But, you know, there was something that I learned when I went back to Jamaica when I was about 13. And that was how proud you feel when you hand wash. You know, we're so used to just putting it in a washing machine, clicking a button, pouring a bit of soap powder or liquid in. But the physical side of actually, you know, washing. And also when I went back to Africa and I watched these women, they were wonderfully strong and, you know, not rifled with pain and disease. But they were washing their clothes and they were moving their bodies. And that's something that we have to, you know, include in our daily lives.
Thank you, Sister Anisi. You're listening to Heart and Soul here on QF Radio. We'll be back to explore humility after this nasheed break.
في ربوع المجد كنا نرفع النصر المبين ونعيد الحق إن عبد رب العالمين. في ربوع المجد كنا نرفع النصر المبين ونعيد الحق إن عبد رب العالمين. كلنا عون الإله يا إله العالمين. كلنا عون الإله يا إله العالمين. مغيب الشمس يا أمي بجانب تلنا الأخضر أنا وعدت أصحابي هناك الموعد الأكرم. مغيب الشمس يا أمي بجانب تلنا الأخضر أنا وعدت أصحابي هناك الموعد الأكرم. إذا جاء النداء قيل حي على الفلاح نداء الحق لبيت ولربي أصغيت. تركت الجاهلية. في ربوع المجد كنا نرفع النصر المبين ونعيد الحق إن عبد رب العالمين. في ربوع المجد كنا نرفع النصر المبين ونعيد الحق إن عبد رب العالمين. كلنا عون الإله يا إله العالمين. كلنا عون الإله يا إله العالمين.
You ever seen unity like this before? Thousands praying faces on the floor. Different nations praising the one Lord. Most beautiful thing that I ever saw. Marble, carpet or dirt. Either way we're putting in this work. Thank Ish for the alert. Cause I wasn't aware Islam was revealed to mankind those years. And neither was my peers. We was into Scarface and Wu-Tang. Didn't know about Uthman Ibn Irfan. I didn't know about Bilal Ibn Rabah. Too busy acting hard as a rapper. Now when I'm wrapped up in this white cloth, pray I'm the total opposite and my heart's off. Head down, stepping out the Grand Mosque. Actions turned on, desires switched off. Now I see these little sisters with their lip gloss, looking Kardashian, listening to hip hop. Then I remember the sisters that ripped the cloth, wrapped up the hair as soon as the command dropped. Trading camels and palm trees back then. Now brothers trading that cocaine and heroin. Looking at the times that we're living in, stressed in a penthouse, look what they were living in. Brother, believe me, I ain't giving in. When your mam speaks, I'll be listening. It's like it's at me, it's directing. The young boy filled up with sin. The young boy filled up with
sin. You're listening to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio 93.8 with me, Lauren Booth, sharing her essential habits based on the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his recommendations. His sister Anisa, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
We were talking before the nasheed about humility and being humble, because sometimes, often now, our external becomes more important to us and more precious than our internal life. We can spend an hour on our hair. And I experienced this when I would do television work as well in the mainstream, that brilliant women will spend 2 hours on hair and makeup and 15 minutes actually researching very important topics. And this is a sad state of affairs for all of us. And if we look, put that in a spiritual realm, how much of our day is actually spent in searching where we are emotionally? How do the emotions and the activities of the body and health tie in together?
Well, I try to keep everything really simple, and that's from being a teacher and also being a mother. You know, I don't overcomplicate things because I can't, you know, take everything in. And I often when I'm teaching, I talk about our bodies being like a car. It is a machine. It is not us. We are our souls. You know, our bodies are just physical things that change, actually. You know, we get new lungs, we grow new fingernails, you know, our skin cells are falling off and reproducing all the time. So our body is just a physical thing, a bit like a car that can, it's like a vehicle that just, you know, takes us to places. So if we spend so much time, for instance, shining our car and buffing it and making it look all nice, you know, we tend to forget that we need to use it. And that it can have some type of benefit. Now, this is what I love about, you know, teaching children, because it gives you that essence of remembering who you are as a person. And I think that is something that we've got caught up in terms of today. If we spend so much time on our exterior, we forget about who we are, who we really are. We forget about our heart. So we tend to our outside, but we're not actually tending to our inner self. And that's what we need to concentrate on.
Perhaps we can take a moment just to consider Sir Jude as well, and the incredible miracle of that position for the human being.
It is a fantastic way of, you know, of not just, you know, bowing and praying to our creator.
Should we describe that position to everybody who may not know?
Okay, so Sir Jude is when you actually put your forehead on the ground. And you are, it's a prayer moment. It's a movement that is in our five daily prayers. It's fantastic, actually. But scientifically and medically, it has been proven that it helps detoxify you as well. You know, and it actually expels radiation from your body. So it does have physical benefits as well as spiritual benefits, especially when done on the earth.
Isn't it the one time as well that your head is actually beneath your heart, so it reverses the flow of blood?
Yes.
Which of course is very healthy. In other traditions, headstands are a preferred method of doing that. Just anything to give your lower body that break.
Yes, I used to work with a specialist who used to have one of those crazy machines that used to turn people upside down, so you'd strap them in, you know, and I used to say, you only need to pray five times a day to get that benefit and plus a lot more.
Finally, and the name of your book that you recently released on health and well-being?
It's called 12 Steps to Health Naturally.
And where can we find that?
You can find that on Amazon.
Sister Anisa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us amongst those who remember him and treat our bodies gently and are grateful to him, and that we are remembered in a greater gathering in the heavenly realm. May the divine blessings of this month of peace be upon every one of us. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
I'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode of Heart and Soul. Assalamu alaikum. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh.